Just a few seconds, this Orange and Blue Blood Thursday, kind of a free-for-all night. We have people dropping by here and there. We'll see who shows up. And news about Oklahoma and Texas. Good news if you're an SEC fan. That's coming your way. We'll also go over some latest news in coaches, a name you know, guy fired today. Also, we'll talk about the big naming of Steve Spurrier Street tomorrow night. And lots more coming your way, so stay tuned. The Buddy Martin Show at Orange and Blue Bloods Thursday is on the air. Tell your friends and neighbors.
Yes, it's time again for Buddy Martin. Call him up and tell him what you're thinking. But be kind because he's doing the best he can.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Mama says that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush.
Hey, what if the voice calls while you're gone?
Take a message.
Bye.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
I'm incapable of small talk. But that's why you love me, right?
Kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
Good evening and welcome to a Thursday night edition of Orange and Blue Bloods. Come join us the next hour as we talk about things you care about if you're a Gator fan or an SEC fan. Big news tonight about the SEC. The long-awaited expansion that takes in Oklahoma and Texas, scheduled now for 2025, kept getting pushed further out. It's happening a year early. Yeah, the Longhorns and the Sooners will be in the SEC in 2024. That means after next season. I'm excited about that. Some expansions I'm not. There are some teams that came in the league that are, eh. But, boy, Texas and Oklahoma, that's big, and it's underway now. So that's going to be fun. What are your thoughts? And we'll talk about that in a minute, about what if Texas pops up and wins the SEC its first year? They've got a guy named Arch Manning playing quarterback by then who should be seasoned, and they've had terrific recruiting, and all of a sudden some new names. I would be okay with having some new names. I mean, I'd like to see Florida in there, but, I mean, I don't want to see Alabama every year and, you know, Georgia every year, whatever. I mean, I don't want to see them dominate the conference. I think Texas and Oklahoma might affect that a little bit. So I'm excited about it. Bring it on, I say. What do you say? So, yeah, we want you to comment this tonight about what your thoughts. So we say good evening to Michael Burton. Yeah, big news in SOS ways. That's right. We're going to talk about that. Coach Spurrier, who we honor tomorrow night. And this is the name of the street. Here's the street sign. I just got it. Let me see if I can get it off my screen and get it over there. This is so cool. I can't think of a guy who deserves it more than this guy. There's the actual street sign. How's it going to look? Steve Spurrier Way out there by Spurrier's Grind Grill, and it'll be right on 31st. So we're all gathering. I see we, but there's about eight of us speaking briefly at Spurrier's Grind Grill tomorrow night in honor of Coach. I thought a lot about this. I'm in the process of writing a column about it, and I know people think I'm a Steve Spurrier homer, and maybe I am. Okay, I've been knowing him for 58 years. I've covered him, written about him. He's by far the most important athlete or coach that ever went to Florida. I don't care about what you say about the others. They're good, they're great, all that. In terms of who else will ever come and win a Heisman as a player and a national championship as a coach, it'll never happen again. So, anyway, good stuff right there. Steve Spurrier, good evening to Robert Turner. Dan Bond, all the way from Texas out there. And Dan wins the pole position tonight. Dan writes some fine pieces for us. He's introduced us to gymnastics and taught me some things about it. And from time to time, he'll be doing that. So we're excited to have Dan, a longtime participant on the show, and, of course, pretty good writer. He's getting better and better. So evening to Ryan Smith, and Dilly Dilly to the man who's making it all happen tomorrow night. Freddie Weeby, the guy. This guy's a maestro, I'm telling you. He pulls things off like this. This is going to be a special deal. I can't wait for it tomorrow night. By the way, pretty successful restaurant, too. Nice going there, Coach Weeby. Good evening to you, Ryan Smith. How are you? Michael Burton. Hello, how are you? Donald Wilder. Let's see, Robert Turner. Yes, awesome. 2024. He means Oklahoma and Texas. If you're just coming in now to hear about that, I didn't hear earlier. That's the news tonight that broke. Oklahoma and Texans coming in the league. Nice going, Greg Sankey. Is that guy good or what? Yeah. Yeah, it will be interesting for sure. Dan Bond says it's nice for him to have more teams close to him. That's why they did it, Dan, because they want to get you more SEC teams. You get to see more gymnastics that way, too. Dan says those two teams excel in all their sports. They do. And back in the day, many moons before your grandfathers were born, when Texas was a dominant team, I once saw their coach, Darryl Royal, speak at a clinic in Gainesville. I wanted to suit up. He was so fantastic. I liked the Texas Longhorns back in those days. I liked the SEC first. Had an opportunity to go out to Texas a few times, visit Austin. And when they were rocking, it was really good for college football. It's good to have them their game on, the game face on. And so, yeah, that's going to make it exciting. Evening to John Brock. Gator baseball starts tomorrow. Sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for reminding us on that, John. Let's see. What else we got? Racy Walker, good evening. Ryan Smith, SOS is a Gator legend. He is beyond legend. I mean, I'm trying to find a way to put it in words without sounding ridiculous because I got to speak for a couple of minutes tomorrow night. I mean, legend, forget. He got that a long time ago. But think about this. What's it like? I mean, you old-timers could put this together. Or even today. Let's say, what if Steve Spurrier came back and was for, you know, came back and like, well, let's say Andy Reid. All right, Andy Reid. And let's see who else. Anyway, think of the quarterbacks and the coaches who played different roles. Spurrier's both of them. I mean, it's amazing what he's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, because he did both jobs well. And I would say he's done more for University of Florida sports than any 5 or 10 other people I know of. All of them, I'm telling you. Because not only he's still doing it, by the way. So very happy for him tomorrow night. It's a small thing. What does it mean when you already got a stadium named after you and a couple other ballparks, one in Johnson City, and he and Jerry have their name on the practice facility in South Carolina? Was it means a lot to him. I had him on earlier that this happened, that he doesn't dwell on stuff like this. So, yeah, great stuff there. So, all right, so let's see. We got a wedding in the orange and blue room. Kyle, we'll get to him in just a moment. Let me play the spot and then get our sponsors in. And Kyle Curtis, who, by the way, was part of doing an exceptional story in Gatorade. I'm so proud of Kyle and his partners that he did this to. We'll let him talk about it. First, we'll hear a message from our sponsor tonight, and that would be Titan MRI.
Things have certainly got a little out of hand lately when it comes to just buying our everyday necessities. Just look at gas, streaming services, and heck, even chicken wings. Well, there is one necessity that shouldn't cost a ton. Taking care of yourself and helping fix all the aches and pains in life, and the fine folks at Titan MRI agree. With costs a fraction of what you'd pay at a hospital, you'll not only save money, you'll be taken care of by staff with over 20 years experience. So when you need an MRI, call Titan first, and you can go where your doctors send their families. Now offering CAT scans.
All right, thanks very much, Jeff Cardoza. This is Orange Blue Blood Thursdays. I don't know whether Ben's going to make the program tonight, but we got this up-and-coming star here who's going to join. I'm so proud of his work and his partners. I'll let him tell you about that. Kyle Curtis has a story tonight on the Jaden Machado situation, collaboration with some of his teammates. But I think, and others on the staff think, it's the most complete report of anybody's had so far. Now, we don't have a lot of information. We got some fresh stuff. Let me let Kyle take. Kyle, congratulations on a great job on this. It's on GatorBait right now on the story that you pulled off and your partners. Talk about who your partners were.
Yeah, thank you. I wouldn't have been able to do it without them, obviously. Brendan, Matt Cordovaro, they kind of helped me. Obviously, there's a bunch of information that went into this story over, you know, a long period of time. So being able to decipher all the information, put it in the right order, it was a lot of work. And being able to get all the details together and put it in a way that's presentable to, you know, the public who are actually intrigued on what's going on. And you guys deserve to be informed just as much as any of us. So, you know, it was cool to be a part of a team collaboration, you know, journalism assignment like that, and being able to put together something, you know, that no one else really has yet.
Well, tell them what it is. Explain why it's different. And we're not bragging. We're just proud to work. A lot of work went into this. But you and Brendan and Matt, and we worked really hard at it. It worked this time. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. But we felt like we needed to catch up and catch our readers up with what's going on as best we could. Not to be first or whatever, to get caught up with this complicated story, which you can't, it's really hard to report and write because nobody's talking about it. What made our story different, Kyle?
We were able to, sources reached out to us from, you know, whether that be boosters, whether that be people who have been, you know, affiliated within the NIL, you know, world before then, who reached out to us and gave us kind of their two pieces on, you know, the inside of Gator Collective, what might be going on inside of there. And, you know, kind of I was able to kind of view it as we had six or seven different puzzle pieces, and we had to find the perfect way to be able to make it a picture. And by doing that, you know, we had different information coming in from different sources everywhere. But with the information that we brought in from our other sources regarding the Gator Collective, it was able to kind of add our unique spin to it. And, you know, like I said, without Brendan or Matt, it wouldn't have been possible. So,
well, Brendan will be along in a minute. But I wanted to tell folks what's in the story. Now, we could not get anybody to go on the record with us about what is going on and why it happened. And the things that the lightning rods are in the story was, how in the world they get to 13.8 million? Nobody knows. That blew everybody's mind. Who made the offer? Who rejected the offer? What happened to the shot? Did he get any money? So on and so on. Lots and lots of questions. We answered a few, but not that many. We're going to continue to try to report the story. And I realize some people like to say, get on with it. Let's move on to something else. And I understand that because it is a story you get weary of. But here's the deal. When you're reporters and you're trying to do a story and get the truth, it doesn't come with the first swing of the bat at the plate. It's an ongoing thing. I hate to say ongoing investigation because it sounds like it's something legal, but it is something that takes a lot of time and patience, and you got to find people willing to talk. Now, there have been stories. Some people wrote opinion pieces. That's fine. We don't want another opinion piece. We understand. We want to know from the people what happened as much as we could. Like, there's stories, terms in there of the deal that Rashad had. You know, and what happened was he couldn't get to Gainesville. He did not execute the contract, although he had a contract for the 13.8. Nobody wanted to pay it, not even the rich boosters. And they got out of it because the people at Gator Collector were able to void the contract because he didn't fulfill the obligation of being in school on campus and part of the team, right?
Yeah, so it all kind of boiled down. It all started with that whole $500,000, you know, initially signing the contract. And that's kind of what we talked about in that article is we were breaking down. He's not in the student directory. He's, you know, it was more so just building blocks leading up to one thing to the next to ultimately, you know, Florida letting him out of his national letter of intent. So Yeah, from the $500,000 that he never received to the him grant getting his permission out of Florida to him finally choosing his dad's alma mater to go to Arizona State, I feel like we did a great job of, you know, covering everything in between.
What are the biggest questions that remain for you? Because there's lots of them still. I mean, what are the one or two things that are burning for you?
The main thing that I want to be able to pinpoint because it's still so murky as to where the paths, you know, it crossed. I want to be able to kind of pinpoint as to where, just so that it can't happen in the future, because that's why I think that this is such a relevant story, because this isn't the fact of a recruit decommitting and it's news for a week or so, but I think that this is something that can actually, you know, have impact in the next, you know, multiple years, and we're going to be talking about this situation, you know, for the next 10 years, as long as NIL exists. I think so. That's kind of what I want to do, just so as a Florida Gator fan, we won't make that mistake again.
Well, I mean, it is, if it was a court case, it would be legal precedence. It'd be a case that would go in the files that people would follow, because this is going to be more of these, right? A lot more of these. So that's why I was so, it was a big national story, and all you saw were 4-star quarterback, $13.8 million, Florida didn't pay the contract, and it was a really embarrassing moment for everybody associated with it, wasn't it?
Exactly, and that it goes back to my point that as Florida Gator fan, as, you know, a supporter of this program, you don't want something like that to happen again, and in order to not have something happen again, you got to be able to find the root of the problem. So I think that's, you know, I think we have a pretty good foundation, but I still think that, you know, there's a lot of reporting to be done. And I think that hopefully that, you know, as time moves on, we'll be able to get more answers.
It's really hard to report a story like this. First of all, it's kind of painful. You don't want to see your team and your school get humiliated like this. And secondly, nobody's talking. As we said in the piece, a lot of things are done in secretive and the shadowy environments of different deals, because, first of all, no one really had any rules they could follow, except they weren't supposed to use this for solicitation of scholarships. So it was all a new experience. And then on top of that, when you're trying to get information, it just isn't there unless you can dig in the corners and get stuff. And these kinds of stories, and I hate to reference Watergate because it's not even anywhere near like that, but in this kind of story, you pick up a few crumbs and they lead you to some other crumbs. And someone sees it and wants to go on the record and they say, okay, I want to tell you what I know. And the next person says, I want to tell you what I know. And eventually, the crumbs lead down the trail of where you need to go, this story. I still don't know University of Florida's role in it, except I know that their representative for NIL was involved. I've talked to off-the-record people, to people and who tell you one thing or the other. And I think to the fans, it's just all confusing, you know?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I mean, with people affiliated directly with, you know, the situation, they're not going to want to come out publicly and say these quotes and do all this stuff, talk to us and, you know, put their name out there, because obviously it was embarrassing for as a university. They don't want that on their track record that, you know, they were affiliated with the fraudulent Jaden Rashada, $13.8 million deal. So I think that was also kind of the difficult aspect of being able to write this story, is the fact that, you know, information is so scarce. So it's a weird time, but it was fun to be able to, you know, be a part of something like that.
I see a dog on the floor, so Sammy's there. Brenda must be nearby. There he is. There's your partner in the crime right there. What's up, Brendan? How you doing?
We did no crime.
What's up, Brendan?
We did no crime. No crime's done here.
you guys did a good job on the story, which we were just talking about. And I know some people are getting sick of it, but it's still a new story. And I think you guys were able to bring some fresh perspective. Kyle and I were just talking about it, things we still want to know about. But Brendan, you were the lead guy on this. Talk about this story and how it came about.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of these stories that just doesn't go away. It's not, you know, before said the other night.
Except you did go away, Brendan. Brendan, you did go away. We don't have you on. You're off. So let's read. Hold on.
Let's see if I can.
It's producer of the show. All right, let's do this. You're back. Yep. Yeah. We have you.
Okay. I was just saying that this story is just one of those stories that just doesn't go away. And, you know, we talked about, you know, not talking about it, but things just kept kind of coming our direction and information and all that kind of stuff. And it just became apparent that it was something that we needed to talk about because, you know, it's our job as journalists is to, you know, we're independent from any university or anything, you know, related. We're an independent news source. So we take that stuff seriously. And there were a lot of people still asking a lot of questions. And the story kept coming up in The Athletic and other, you know, Saturday Down South, and other people started carrying it. And then we found ourselves, you know, with different kind of information and people coming to us asking, or not asking, but, you know, sharing information, that it became evident, you know, once I talked to Kyle and to you and to everybody else of the staff, that this was the right thing to do. And, you know, we only report on the stories that are around. We're not keeping the story around, or we're not trying to make it into a story, but it's clearly something that is, you know, something people, or at least something that's still good enough for us to want to do some investigative journalism on it and, you know, tell the truth and wait, you know, not worry about being first, but more worry about being correct. And we spend a lot of time and due diligence in that process. So.
Yeah, we're not going to break our arms, Kyle, patting ourselves on the back, because we just came to the game, because it's a story that's been out there. We're trying to find a way to report it. And how we get is when people talk. The people on the listen to this show, they know things. They're really good about letting us know what they know, and we have people willing to talk, but not on the record. Now, I don't like that, but there have been other major stories that people have written that won Pulitzer Prizes and brought down presidents that were not, the sources were anonymous, but the information was correct, so it does. All right, so Kyle, tell us real quick, what is, you're around the campus, what are the guys at the ATO house talking about with this thing? Tell me about it.
They're all kind of coming up to me. They obviously, everyone knows that I'm working for the show, writing stuff for you guys. So they're always, I'm always getting flustered with different kind of questions and stuff like that regarding any kind of football, basketball, anything of that nature, trying to get the inside scoop. But I've been pretty transparent. I was talking to a few guys when Brendan sent me the Athletic article. I was talking to a few guys about that, and it's more so of the fact of the unknown and as to why that, you know, that we should be one of the top programs in the country, and that this is kind of just it's not a good look, and more so confused as to why that, you know, the people up top feel like they don't really have it have it together. So I guess it's more so worried for the fact of that we don't want this to happen again.
Brendan, I know you got to go pretty quick. You're working, but, and Kyle does too, but I'm going to have Franz on in a second, but I wanted to ask you, Brendan, as you got awfully inspired and you were the ringleader on the story. Where do you think this story, in your opinion, is going to go?
Well, I think it's one of the reasons why I really wanted to tell, you know, I guess the our version of it, or what we know to be our version of it, was that I doesn't feel like this story is done. You know, there's a lot of unanswered questions, and there's a lot of people still asking those questions. Our unnamed sources are parts of those, you know, groups of individuals who have a lot of questions. But it's hard to ask questions legally, because there seems to be some potential legality, you know, that may or may not occur. And that this story, you know, because it keeps showing up, you know, in other news outlets, and people keep sort of, you know, adding their part of it, that it's just, it's apparent that there's more to it. And it's not because we're here to place opinion or do an editorial or any of that. It's just more of that, you know, it's like every time you turn around, you pick up another piece, you pick up another piece. So to me, it was like, well, we better start telling this story, because I think it's one of those stories that, unfortunately, you know, for the program and, you know, for those involved, it's a story that most people would like for it to go away. But when you're dealing with, you know, these unknowns and millions of dollars and lots of question marks, and, you know, there's potential for people getting involved, you know, that, you know, weren't traditionally people that were getting involved in the program, i.e. the Millionaire Club. And I think a lot of people wanted to, you know, it feels like there's a need for transparency so that this doesn't happen again, not only at Florida, but for all the other schools, is to, you know, because the most important thing here is the young athlete who's coming in. And, you know, I think, you know, Rashada wanted to be a Gator, you know, and wanted to play at University of Florida. Definitely didn't want to take the, I don't think that, you know, I haven't talked to him, but, you know, definitely doesn't seem like that his dream was to be at ASU right now. So it's more of like just keeping in mind that we're dealing with young people. And, you know, that was part of the drive for me to want to get, you know, that version of the story out, because these young people are now not just dealing with, you know, where to go to school and play, but you've got money and it's life-changing money. And, you know, I think what the job of the press and the media is to tell the responsible story and be, you know, the checks and balances in the process of whatever it is that you're covering. And I just felt like, as GatorBait, as a brand that's been chronicling Gator sport for over 40 years, that it was something that was, you know, important to me as the president of the company, that we were going to get into, you know, at least telling the parts that we knew, and then be a sounding board for the fan base and everyone else who has a lot of questions, because I think just the basic understanding of what's going on here is in question. You know, that there are entities like the UAA, and there, you know, the collective, and there's, you know, boosters and all these different things that go into it. And it's not just a decision from Scott Strickland or, you know, the brass at UF, but it's a very intricate system that is morphing before our eyes, you know, with the transfer portal and the NIL. And it's going to be that story that a lot of other schools and other programs look towards as a thing. Well, we don't want this to happen here, you know. And I think a lot of people want to know about how is this not going to happen again, so the Gators can continue to go after those five-star athletes and be competitive in the future. So it's not one that you enjoy, you know, digging into, but it was clearly, you know, necessary as far as I'm concerned. Is this something that we need to get on paper with and say, this is what we know, this is our part of it, and you know, and let it kind of play out from there. So there was no question that was something that we needed to be a part of.
All right, so Kyle, the one part of the story that was kind of intriguing is that the money. A lot of people are naive about the money that comes into these programs. Now, I ask a former coach, well-known coach, about dealing with overeager boosters who want to start buying players and stuff. And let's be honest, some teams have bought their players before NIL. Now it's legal. And his coach told me he never had that problem. He just said, no, we're not going to do it, and that's how it was. But we all know there are certain programs that have been buying players for years. I can't prove it, so I won't name names. But the thing about this story is that is interesting, was that in one of our sources, a group came forward that was the old guard that were not Gator Collective people and had some very critical things to say. Is that music I'm hearing someplace?
It's your granddaughter.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me.
That's all right. There we go. Stella. If Stella's doing it, it's okay. I didn't know. I thought maybe it was coming over my.
Yeah, sure.
But to just sure. We're going to bring.
She only got her headsets on gaming while she's listening to music at 10. Yeah. Okay. It must be a Martin.
Yeah, let's bring Franz in while we're doing this. Just to finish up the thought, and that thought is that the money that comes into the programs, as we know, has been illegal. Some do more than others. I think in this particular story, we'll bring Franz in, is the fact that that another group came forward that was not Gator Collective, and they still told us they were not very happy with how Gator Collective handled this, which was interesting, I thought. Kyle, did you get that?
Yeah, and I think that kind of just speaks as to how this whole situation is still an unraveling, story, is the fact that, more people are coming out who are closer to the situation and being able to, I don't know if exposed is the right word, but being able to at least shine light on.
Yeah. Illuminate. Illuminate's a good word. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Shine light maybe on some of the flaws that are going on with. And I'm not saying maybe I believe that, there's good in everything, and that I think that people are doing it the right way up there. But at the same time, there's obviously a loose screw. And I think that's I don't know if that's our job to be able to, be able to locate that and report on that and do the best of our ability. But it's just a weird time right now. It's weird. And I don't think any of us have ever really seen anything like it, especially with NIL and being unknown of everything. It's crazy.
Let's bring in the Iron Duke for a quick comment before you guys go away. He read the story. Francis, good evening to you, my friend. What are your thoughts?
First and foremost, Kyle, Brendan, Matt. Matt did an extraordinary job. This is like peeling layers of an onion, you just keep peeling. And I don't think anybody, has yet gotten to the core of everything that happened. I think in a lot of ways, everybody has skimmed the surface. There's more to it than meets the eye. There's more people involved with this than have, I've been told about a couple of people that I'm not really at liberty to say at this moment. I sent it in a text. You guys know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to say names until I know factually and have it confirmed by enough sources that, in a lot of ways, what we're doing, it's like, here's a story right here. And we are gradually surrounding the story to the point that there's no way out. The truth is in the middle there. And there's no way to leak it out or anything like this. Little bit by little bit, we're getting to the core of this and surrounding this story that's there. The truth is going to come out. There's going to be a lot of hurt feelings there. I made a point. I wrote in my column the other day. I said heads are going to roll. They are. And one, at least one may have already, from what I understand, but heads are going to roll. And there are people who purport to be almost billionaires who they have a lot of money, but nothing close to a billion, you know, maybe not even anywhere close to 100 million or even 50 million, but they have been given esteemed status, and it turns out that they don't have the bucks. Mm-hmm. And because if they had the bucks, this deal would have been done.
Yeah. And I want to get your. I'm sorry.
I've come to one basic conclusion here. The people who should have protected Jaden Rashada let the kid down. Okay. I'm not saying that he, you know, if he really wanted to be a Gator, I believe he would be a Gator. But I know this, that people who surrounded him let him down greatly. And I think that he was torn between making decisions that maybe as an 18-year-old kid he is incapable of making on his own. And the people who should have been giving him good advice didn't. And I'm adamant about that. If there's one thing that's become totally clear in this to me, and that is there are fingers of blame that can go in any direction and you can find a guilty party. In the middle is Jaden Rashada, who we can say maybe should have known better or whatever like that, but he's 18 years old.
All right, well said.
And to dovetail what Fran says, I think that, you know, at least my part of the story, as we kind of broke this up into pieces and then we reconvened, is, you know, the people that I've talked to is that there is this great desire, you know, for more of transparency in this process, because there is a big question mark of saying, if we had all this money and we had the ability to do it and he wanted to be here, why is he not a Gator? Because it doesn't make sense. Like, it just doesn't make it doesn't add up. He should be a Gator. He should be enrolled, and it really was a no-brainer. And Franz is right that somebody gave the Rashadas bad advice, and we don't know who that entity is. So whether it's his own representation, it is advice by some other entity that we don't know yet. We've got plenty of, you know, maybes. But like Fran said, it's hard to nail it down. The Rashadas aren't talking, and there are other factions that are not really talking, and then there are other factions that won't stop talking. So, you know, that's the confusing part. Everybody wanted, including Rashada, Jaden wanted to be a Gator. Why is that not a deal? And why has he signed a $300,000 deal to go play at ASU? Doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, guys, I want to get everybody out of here. And Francis is going to stay around and talk about some 7 key games. A guy we know well got fired today, and surprisingly. Get Francis' take on that. I want to mention tomorrow night's a big night. We got I'll let Brendan go ahead and go. We got Steve Spurrier coming up, the naming of that street for him, which is great, and other stuff. So final thoughts from Kyle, and then we'll let you go, Kyle.
Again, I couldn't have done it without Brendan and Matt Cordoraro. They did a great job, and I don't think that this is the end. And for the Super Bowl, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to get it done.
Okay, to get that in there, that pick. All right, thank you very much. Good job, Kyle. Appreciate it, man. Take care of yourself.
All right, see you guys.
Absolutely. Good job.
Yeah.
Really good job.
Bright young man. Friends, I got so much to ask. I want to get to you because there's a lot going on right now. Oklahoma, Texas is coming in early in 2024 as of tonight. We found that out, which is kind of amazing. And then Charlie Strong got fired in Miami. I'm a little surprised by that. And then let's talk about these 7 key games. I'll do a quick spot, and you take me wherever you want to go with this and tell me what you want to talk about next, okay? Here's a message from our friends at Meldon Law. Time to catch up with our friend Jeffrey Melton, who's always got his shirt tail in the wind doing stuff, and meanwhile, celebrating milestones. Jeffrey, first of all, hello and welcome back, and congratulations. You've got a big milestone coming up for your scholar-athlete program, 25 years.
Yes, buddy, we're really excited. We started in 1997 with Larry Vitell, who had the Sports Scene show. And after a couple of years, TV20 called us, and we joined up with them and got even greater exposure. And we've now given away over 650 scholarships to local scholar athletes in Marion County, Alachua County, and all the adjoining counties.
All right, well done, the folks at Melton Law. All right, Francis, take me to this whatever subject. You want to talk about seven key games. First, though, give me Oklahoma, Texas. You excited about it?
Well, of course I am. And I had made a point with people all along. It was going to happen.
Yeah, you did. You said that. You said that. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you're right.
I've said it all along. It was going to happen. And the reason it's going to happen is because, okay, they're reporting that Oklahoma and Texas have agreed to pay the Big 12 $100 million. They're probably going to pay $25 million each. The SEC is probably going to pay $25 million. And the other $25 million will come from ESPN. I mean, ESPN, SEC, and those two, that's $100 million. It's going to be interesting to see what happens now, because this frees up the Big 12. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what. The Big 12 is chomping at the bit. I hate to use that term, but it's true. To go to Utah, because getting Utah gives them a natural rival for BYU. You get Colorado. You lived in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You know how close Colorado is to mm-hmm. Texas Tech. I mean, it's, you know, Lubbock's just right down the road there. And Colorado was a Big 8 team and a Big 12 mm-hmm. team. And now they to come back. They want to get Arizona State. And you know why these guys want to do it? Because the Pac-12 does not have a deal. And I don't think they're going to get a deal, because no network is going to give them a whole bunch of money, knowing that Washington, Oregon, Cal, and Stanford will bolt the moment.
Well, they've already lost UCLA and USC, right? They've lost them already.
Absolutely. And so here's the irony. Pointed out by my brother, if Cal, Oregon, Stanford, and Washington all went, okay, you could end up having, it would be 20 teams in the Big Ten. You could actually have a Big Ten. The Big Ten West with 10 teams, the Big Ten East with 10 teams. You'd really have, even though you got 20 overall, you would still have a Big Ten. And then they wouldn't have to be lying about the fact that they call themselves the Big Ten and they got 16 schools and everything. But the expansion's about to happen. George Kliavkoff was last night in Dallas wooing SMU. I mean, what does SMU bring to the table?
A 30,000 seat stadium, for one thing. Not much.
No, a 30,000 seat stadium. The only sport that they have that gets any kind of national recognition is men's soccer. Okay.
Thanks
right
to
there.
Thanks I mean, to yeah, Kyle Rote. Yeah.
Yeah, men's soccer. That just rings your chimes. I know, buddy. I mean, yep. You'd go get season tickets if Florida would have a men's soccer team. I know that.
I could actually watch soccer if it was. I'm learning, but it's not my number one choice. No, you're right.
Well, you're learning because you got a granddaughter who
yeah,
plays.
Of course, it's important to her. It's important to me. So yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, Francis. And I do think they're talking now about the desire of Oklahoma and Texas want to win the last Big 12 title before they leave, which, by the way, pretty good quarterback out there in Austin, by the way, I've heard, huh? They're loaded. And I was talking tonight about how, you remember a little of this, you're a little too young, how, but a big brand Texas football was. And back in the days, way back in the days, and Dan Jenkins wrote about them, and Daryl Royal was their coach, and they had that burnt orange and all that stuff, and those unbelievable Texas-Arkansas games for the national championship. And Texas is a beautiful, Austin's a beautiful place, and Texas is a great school, and it's a quality program with a big brand.
Well, you think about it also. From an academic standpoint, you get one of the great academic universities in the country, country in Texas. Oklahoma, a very underrated university as far as research and everything, but you think about that. Look at the sports they're bringing in that win national championships. Texas won the volleyball championship. Oklahoma's won the last couple of softball and gymnastics championships. They're powerhouses in football and both of them in baseball as well. Swimming as well. They bring a lot to the table in the SEC. The SEC, which is the toughest league top to bottom, sport by sport in the country, just got tougher. And here's the big deal about it, buddy. Okay, you got a choice. You can watch Texas going to Mississippi State, where, by the way, Daryl Royal cut his coaching teeth.
He did.
Do you know that? Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mississippi State, people don't realize that you're talking about a cradle of coaches. Murray Warmoth, who won a national championship at Minnesota. Daryl Royal, who won one at Texas. Both came from Mississippi State. So did Dan Mullen, but that's another story. All right.
Deep shot.
But this is a big deal to get these schools in now. And it ties in. Now there will be a new contract rewritten by ESPN to add them into the fold. And it's going to be, instead of $300 million a year, it's going to be monstrous.
Yeah, for sure.
There are people who are saying that this contract is going to be somewhere in the range of $750-$800 million a year, because that's what, and this is the thing. Think of the demographic as well. You get now, even though you got Texas A&M there, you get Texas A&M and Texas out there. You have just taken over a 35 million population state. You have galvanized the entire population, and you add Baja, Oklahoma, Texas is also known as Baja, Oklahoma.
Thank you, Dan Oklahoma. Jenkins. Dan Jenkins.
I know. Couldn't resist that. Couldn't resist that line. What a good book, too. Yeah. But you look at that, Oklahoma up there. Oklahoma's got 7 national championships in football. People don't realize that. 7. They've got more than Texas. The only school that has more than Texas than Oklahoma is Alabama. I mean, goodness, we don't have another school in the SEC that has. I think the most that anybody else has is 4 now, and that's Georgia, or maybe that Georgia. Yeah, Georgia had the 41. Georgia had 4. But that's it. LSU may have had one back in like 36 or something like that. But 7 national championships. This is a very big deal on every single front, but particularly on the television front, because now you have a block from Texas all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, all the way up into Ohio, into Illinois, into Indiana, because the SEC reach goes, you got all these schools, for example, in northern Kentucky, all these towns in northern Kentucky that have TV. They're not watching the Big Ten. They're watching the SEC, and you got these schools right across the border. Cincinnati, I guarantee you there are a lot of SEC football fans in Cincinnati and up in Indianapolis and places like that. So you have just created a very, very big brand. And what are you going to watch? You think they're going to watch Rutgers and Southern Cal on a Saturday night? Or do you think they may be watching Oklahoma at Ole Miss or Oklahoma at Alabama or Oklahoma at Florida?
Let me ask you a question, Franz, and let's start on something. I had a lot I want to get into. We're running out of time. First of all, Charlie Strong fired in Miami. Are you surprised at that, number one?
No, I'm not, because Mario Cristobal, I think, is hitting the panic button. Even though he's got this really, he's fired his offensive coordinator. Kevin Steele left because Kevin Steele was one step ahead of the jailer himself. He was going to get fired. And he got bailed out by Nick Saban. So Nick's going to go back to running the defense, and Kevin Steele's going to be his lieutenant. Charlie Strong, mark my words, Charlie Strong will be an assistant coach coaching the linebackers along with Kevin Steele at the University of Alabama next year. And that is a thorn in Florida's side for recruiting, because Charlie Strong can go in any school in Tampa or Polk County. He can, or Sarasota or Bradenton, in that area, which produces a lot of football players. Charlie Strong can go in any one of those places, instant name recognition. And that's a thorn in Florida's recruiting side.
And Dan Bond brings up, could he be an analyst at Florida?
Could, but he's a why would he be an analyst at Florida when he'll get paid? Yeah. Nick Saban loves Charlie Strong. Nick Saban's going to hire Charlie Strong. Mark my words on that.
Okay. Wayward home for coaches. I wanted to go get your seven games make a difference, but I got an interesting article on the starting lineups for the spring. I wanted to kind of, you're good at rosters, and I was going to ask you, On Three had one. There also had ones. Okay. Let's see what we got here. It's got some mysterious
Jake
note.
Jake Rudner's has put one up there at 24/7, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay. Oh, no. Yeah. Boateng. You see that? Passed away?
Boateng? No, I did not.
Yeah. Yes, terrible breaking news, and not the kind of news you want to hear about a Gator, especially if it's what we think it was, which could have been, you know, bad. So anyway, so RIP to him. Yeah, nice comment from Eddie Rojas. Nice article. It's a great show. Thank you, Eddie. I'm sorry to interrupt you. So I'm trying to get to the starting lineups before we get off the air here, and where they fit in, and you're good at this, and I was going to go over the list that I got it, one from the, here's the Athletics. This is just the front four, 2023 question mark. All right, Princely, can't pronounce his last name, and Sapp.
You met him in Milan.
Yeah, that guy.
Tyreek Sapp.
Yeah, or 1-2 defensive end. Nose tackle, Dez Watson and Chris McMillan. Defensive tackle, Cameron Jackson and Kelby Collins. And jack position, Antoine Powell Rylan and Junior and Jack Piper. Any thoughts about those?
Well, Cameron Jackson, transferred in from Memphis, is going to play the nose. Count on that. 6'6". 350 pounds, and he can absolutely move. Dez Watson will end up being the second teamer unless he decides to get serious about weight and gets his weight down to about 380, which, you know, he's a few biscuits above that now. Cameron Jackson is going to be there. Caleb Banks, the transfer in from Louisville, another one who's going to play. 6'7", 320 pounds, can run. Those guys are going to play. Princely is going to be starting for sure. The kid that's coming in from Kelby Collins is going to play. No question about it. He is going to play. But But we run a 3-4 defense, you know, with an outside linebacker at center like that. That front three is going to be significantly better. These two guys, and I feel very certain that they're going to add another defensive lineman in the spring. I'm hearing all kinds of stories about that. On May 1st, there will be a flood of really good transfers, and more, maybe as many as we had, maybe as many as we had in December. And that's for a lot of reasons. You got a lot of guys that want to transfer out. For example, if you get to be a grad transfer, if you are a graduate, you can go anywhere you want to go and you can play instantly. You know, you can go in the transfer portal in May 1, but then you're going to have to petition to play early. If you weren't in that early group, you got to petition. So you got a lot of guys who's decided to stay in school and graduate, because then they can go anywhere they want to go.
All right, so I'll save the offense to Monday when you're on. Get to your story about seven key games.
All right, we got coming up here. And Todd talked about this earlier in the week. He said, okay, we got to win the games that we're supposed to win. And he was already counting the fact that, okay, we're going, Alabama's a tall order. So now you got Vanderbilt, winnable game at home. Ole Miss Wednesday night, winnable game at home. Arkansas on the road, tall order. I don't know if the Gators can do it up there, but I think they can play them tougher than they played Alabama. And, of course, I got to tell you what, buddy, what Alabama did last night, they were in shooter's coma.
Oh, my gosh, they're unconscious.
I do not believe that what Alabama did was preventable by Florida's defense last night. You know, sometimes teams get on that roll when anything they throw up is going in, and that's what they had last night. They outscored Florida by 33 points on the three-point line. That's the difference in the ball game. Okay, those two games should win. First two, Florida should win. Arkansas, toss-up game. Kentucky, Florida should win. At Vanderbilt at home, tough place to play, but I think Florida wins. Georgia on the road, I don't think it's a problem. LSU at home. Florida, I think you got seven games here. I think you've got five winnable games. And, okay, let's call, just for the sake of it, we'll call Kentucky a toss-up game. So you got four winnable games, you got two toss-up games, and then you got Arkansas, which is going to be really tough. Florida's got to win six of those seven games. Why? Because you get 19 wins going into the NCAA tournament. I mean, the SEC tournament. You win the first night at the SEC, you're at 20 wins. 20 wins, and if they win five of the next seven, let's say, or six of the next seven, they will be at 12 SEC wins. No team with 12 SEC wins has ever not gotten into the NCAA tournament.
So you're saying there's a chance. You're saying there's the Animal House line. So you're saying there's a chance.
That was Dumb and Dumber.
Was that Dumb? Yeah, it was Dumb and Dumber. Yeah.
People might say that's you and me, but that's okay.
Yeah, could very well be right.
We've been called worse by people.
I think I'd be the dumber. You'd be dumb. I'd be dumber. So
well,
you're
like
saying
I said,
there's a chance.
We've been called worse by people we like.
Oh, yeah, that's true. A lot of miles together, Francis, all these years. It's all been good.
But you want to know something? I'm going to plug Gator Bait real quick.
All right, please do.
And I'm going to plug the two kids and Brendan for coming up with a great story. We've all had our theories. We've all been peeling the layers of the onion back. This was the most comprehensive story that's been out there yet about what went wrong. We still hadn't gotten to the top, but this is the kind of thing that happens when you got people that really work at what they do, and you find that at Gator Bait. We're going to be making some changes over the next couple months. A lot of good things are about to happen with Gator Bait that we can't even talk about now because it's all in development and everything like that. But if you like us now, you're going to love us in a couple of months. And you can but we're going to do it without compromising the core of what we do, which is give people quality writing, because that's something that seems to have disappeared for the most part throughout sports these days.
We're not clickbait. We don't do clickbait. That's not what we do.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
No, we don't. And we don't write stories and claim it to be truth when we know damn good and well it isn't. And there are people out there. I'm not pointing any fingers at any local guys, but we see it throughout college sports and team websites and stuff like that. We see a lot of people out there that will run with any rumor that's out there, and they don't have any kind of substantiation to what they do. We do it right. And folks, you know, if you're not a subscriber, you ought to be. And if you like good writing and you like a place that has been around 40 years, going to be around another 40 years, because we're going to make sure that Gator Bait will keep living on.
Keep these young boys going like we got. Yeah, keep those young ones going. They're great. So, Francis, as usual, you're the Iron Duke for a reason, because you bring it every week. And thank you for the great stuff that you do. If you just get it for the price of his basketball writing, you get a bargain. But he does everything, covers every sport, you name it. He's all
gymnastics tomorrow night.
Gymnastics tomorrow. Yeah.
Holy cow. We got the twin tens now in Trinity and Leanne Wong.
Boy.
That's what I'm going to start calling them, the twin
tens.
There
you go. I like that. Like the Twin Towers, but twin tens. I like that. Good stuff, Francis, my man. Appreciate you, man. Take care. Get some rest. All right. The great Francis Beard. He does it all. And meanwhile, is taking care of his family at the same time. So he's a team player. All right. Good night, France. I want to say thank you to our friends over at the Rent Star, who do such a terrific job here for us. We are so appreciative of their support. We couldn't do this show without people like this. And it's a double win for us, because they have a company here. They're stakeholders downtown. They support events, sports, different things all over. Rent Star has a setup specifically to try to help us get better treatment for ourselves. I've been in the doctor's office a little bit this week, and I said I'm so grateful for the doctors I've got. They're fantastic doctors, all of them. I'm confident, including my eye doctor and my GP and what have you. And this is the kind of operation they run at RentStar. They're such good people. They care about us. They do these clinical research things all the time. And they try to get you to get involved, because they like indigenous data, so they can find out, because they're trying to find out what diseases we have and find out how to treat them. So if you were interested in being a part of some of their clinical research studies, they've been doing it since 1998, over 700 of them, you can contact them online at rentstar.net. They give you details. In some cases, there are compensation for time and travel, they do take this data, and they participate in these clinical research trials, and they partner up with prominent pharmaceutical and biomedical companies throughout the medical industry to get better treatment for us. So check them out online, RentStar Medical Research, seeking tomorrow's answers to the health questions of today. Well, thanks so much for listening and watching tonight and this week, folks. We'll have a weekend off, and we'll watch a little ball. Be back with you on Monday. Thanks to our guests tonight. Good job by Brendan and Kyle. And, of course, the Iron Duke. We didn't get Ben tonight. He was busy, but we'll catch him next week. Thanks, folks. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to the Buddy Martin Show right here on this channel. Back next week, same time, same station.